Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebelt. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listeners. First off, I want to thank you all for the iTunes reviews. We are at 60 now, which is a nice round number, but not as nice as 100, so if you haven't left one yet, please do so. If you hear any noises in the background, I'm hanging out in northern Japan with the windows open and enjoying the spring. It's too nice outside, and I refuse to close them. This week, I have came up with something special. You will be getting a three-part series, Netflix style, that I have recorded with a good buddy of mine, Brendan Tolley. Except, instead of releasing it all on the same day, I'm doing it in a week. You're basically getting to eavesdrop on what we talk about during our lunches together. Today's topic is buying back time. Tomorrow, we talk about multiple income streams, and on the last part, we go into why we chose to unfollow everybody and how we choose who we listen to. Enjoy. We'll start with the first topic, which was buying back time.
I think you got to think about this on a couple of levels, not just raw. I guess there's a few ways to look at it. One is buying raw labor and buying people to do stuff for you. That's one way to look at it. But the other way is to, like, depending what it is, software and systems or other companies that you can engage to do something, give you a fixed result that will also give you back time. So that's the way I look at it in my business, if that makes sense.
What do you think about mini vacations and breaks? I know you've talked about that before somewhere, that you'd take like a 2 week or 1 week every month or so. Like, what do you think of that? Because I think that's as close as you can get without actually getting all your time back. It's just like these mini breaks.
Yeah, I think rest and recovery is really important. Like, I used to be, and I still struggle with this, I used to be kind of balls to the wall, go flat out, put everything you have into something and just go hard at it for as long as you can. And I don't think that is the right approach. I tried that for many years and it doesn't really work. And it's the same in like a lot of things. Like, if you go to the gym, for example, you can't go hard. You can't go 100% all the time, every day of the week, 7 days a week. You need to go in and do your thing, and then you need rest and recovery because the gains are really made in the rest and recovery time. And I think it's similar in business, that you need to do the work and be really focused and have really clear focus time, and not necessarily working hard either, maybe working smarter and focusing on what gets results, and then step away from it and take a break. Because I really think that, I don't know if I'd call it mini vacations, but I call it white space time, where you're just not really doing anything, but often that's when things kind of click in my head, or I get my best ideas, or I find the solution to a problem. And I'm sure you've had it before, and a lot of other people I know in business have had it too, where you're working away at a problem and you can't get it solved. You walk away and you come back the next day, or, you know, you go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning and you have the solution. So I think that is a factor of that kind of rest and recovery time, or that white space time. And I think if you don't have that long term, your results are going to suffer. You might be able to go extremely hard on something for a month or 2 months or 3 months, but I don't think it's not a good long-term strategy. Like, I recently read the book, I think it's called The 80-20 Way by Richard Koch, the 80-20 guy, and there was a bit in there that really stuck out, that was almost everybody, when they want more, they try and, like, more of something. So, you know, more money, more success, whatever it is, they try and get more with more. It doesn't make sense. It's not an equation that works, because you don't have any more time. You have a fixed amount of time. So his approach is, well, we need to focus on getting more with less. So let's focus on what we need to take away first. And I think there's a lot of learning in that. And I think for me, it's a good reminder for me that I have a tendency to just put all I have into something, whereas a better approach is to short focus bursts, short sprints, and then take a rest, take a break, take a week off, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why my business has been struggling through many, many years too, is I will go hard for, like you said, 2-3 months, and then I'll burn out, and it'll take about 2-3 months of probably like recovery and getting my brain back on track, and then another 2-3 months. And the team is like, boss, are you working now or are we not working? Because they don't know which part of the cycle I'm in. They're doing well, but it's just me. I'm the problem.
Yeah.
And then when I try doing the daily stuff where I'll work for a couple hours and I'll relax and read stuff. Like, well, the wife thinks when I'm reading or relaxing, I'm not doing anything, right? So this is a prime time to talk about, like, well, in 2 months, what do you think about going shopping? What's the budget for? I'm just like what? Like, in my head, I've been dwelling on a problem, right? But to her, it's like, well, you're not really doing anything.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, from the outside, that's what it looks like. But you think about it. Think about it like this. If you're an Olympic sprinter, Tom, you wouldn't be sprinting all day long. You would do a short sprint, then you take a rest. It's the same sort of thing. Maybe you need to explain to your wife like that. Think of you as an Olympic sprinter. This is your rest time when you're reading.
I should, because right now what I'm picturing is this. I'm picturing myself sprinting until I can't sprint anymore. And obviously I go to the side of the road to get some water and the wife comes up like, well, since you're not doing anything. Well, screw this. I'm going to drop the water and just sprint anyway. So it's like... So at least I look like I'm sprinting.
Nice. But yeah, I think the rest is usually important. But just going back to the buying back time, I think today there are so many software tools. Like I use, I don't know if you do, but I use Zapier, for example, zapier.com. And basically it's a piece of software that sits in between two other bits of software and connects them. And one something happens in one piece of software and you can do something in another piece of software. And using Zapier and another tool, If This Then That, which is basically the same thing as Zapier, but you know, works in a slightly different way. Using those two tools together, we've cut out probably 2 full-time equivalents or 2 full-time roles just by automating things, because we do a lot of SEO work for clients and a lot of them create content on a regular basis. So audio and video, and using those two tools, they put their files in Dropbox. It automatically creates tickets in our ticket system. The tools actually do a lot of the uploading and automating stuff around putting them out on YouTube or SoundCloud or whatever. And then we have staff who just go through and check the tickets to make sure that the automation's done properly. So that tool, I think we're only paying $15 a month, or it might be $25 a month, but it's nothing. You know, compare that to the amount of work it saves. That's 2 full-time staff I save that aren't sitting there all day long uploading stuff to YouTube, which is completely mind-numbing. So, you know, that's the perfect example of using software, because so many people are focused on getting staff to do stuff. But I think if you're smart, you can use software to save a lot of time. In some of the workshops we do for small business, so we do in Australia, we do, for the last 5 years, been doing workshops and training for small businesses around the web and cloud technology and IT and that sort of stuff. And one of the workshops I host is on cloud technology, because, I mean, people are a bit more familiar with the cloud now, but back 2010, 2011, this new buzzword, the cloud, no one knew what it meant. So we had this workshop series on the cloud. And one of the things we talked about is, well, we talked about OPEX, operational expenses versus capital expenses, but rolled into that was this resistance for people to pay $100 or $200 a month for cloud tools. But when you run the numbers, if you can use a cloud tool or a piece of software, if it only saves you personally half an hour a day, that works out to be 2.5 weeks a year of full-time work that one half an hour saving generates. So if you can save half an hour across all your team by using better tools and technology, for example, using Google Apps email hosting instead of some rubbish poor quality email that's down or it's slow or whatever it is that's causing problems for your staff, that one little change by paying a little bit more for a tool that actually works or performs better that saves half an hour across all the staff in your company, that's 2.5 extra weeks off you can take, or 2.5 extra weeks of productivity you get out of your people just by that one little change as well.
What do you think people should do with the free time that they save? Because I've been noticing that some of the business guys that did save a lot of time, they're not really using it wisely.
I don't think you have to be working all the time. So I guess so long as the business is performing well, then, you know, again, it comes back to, just because you have idle time doesn't mean it has to go into the business, right? It's, again, it comes back to that mindset of getting more by putting in more doesn't necessarily make sense or doesn't necessarily work.
If I have free time, I start tinkering with other things. Like I get restless. And I think you said that you can easily find ways to use up your time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need hobbies outside of work because I love mountain biking and I like CrossFit. I like doing other things, you know, even just sitting in the sun and reading a book for half a day. You know, I think it's important to have things outside the business. Again, it comes back to that rest and recovery. You can't always be in the business. Like, you're not going to get the best result if you're working 12-hour days, 6 or 7 days a week. It just doesn't work like that. I think it's important to have hobbies or something that excites you outside the business that, you know, you can go and do those. And like, my metric for whether something is a good hobby or not is whether or not it puts a smile on my face. Like, that's it. It's pretty simple. So that's what I do. You know, I could fill up a week long with activities and things outside my business.
I have a few hobbies and I'll do them and I enjoy them. But there's like a moment where I feel like, okay, let's get back to doing something. Even if I'm reading for like an hour, an idea pops in my head and it relates with something that I'm either doing in business or I could be doing it, or just a new project. And it's just like, I gotta run and start doing something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's also, I think, in the Western world, where to a certain degree, we're addicted to motion and doing and continual activity just for the sake of activity. Because I've recently, we're still in January of the new year. So, you know, for me, I just reviewed what we're doing for the year and we cut out a whole bunch of stuff and activities because, you know, when I looked at the results they were generating, it was just really busy work. So I think you need to be careful. It's good to have passion and want to get back to the business, but I think it's also important not to engage in busy work or spread yourself too thinly, because at the end of the day, you've only got so much time, so much energy, and so much passion to give to the business. If you spread it too thinly, then you're going to do a whole bunch of things very average or very poorly rather than one or two things really well.
When I think of buying back time, though, it kind of relates to buying back other freedoms too, like location, schedule, what to work on, who to work with. And how do you think that ties into to overall the way you run your business?
Sometimes I think it's not even just about time. I think it's about urgency as well. Like for me, I don't mind putting in quite a bit of time into my businesses, but the one thing I hate is urgency. When something requires my time and it requires urgency, that really drives me nuts. So for me, I think that there's luxury in not having urgency around me having to do something, whereas I don't mind so much if I have a new project and I'm going to need to pour 20 or 40 hours of my own time into it. That's fine, but so long as I don't get this, because the urgency for me creates the stress. So when someone wants something immediately, or someone's screwed up, or a client, you know, has dropped the ball and suddenly they need something tomorrow, that's what really drives me up the wall, not necessarily having to put a lot of time into something. Over the last couple of years, it's something I've really had to work on, being careful where I invest my time and making sure I'm getting results for that time invested. So I'm pretty comfortable now. I'm at a point where if I'm putting time into something, then it's going to generate a bigger result. But yeah, again, it comes back to, if there's an urgency around whatever I'm doing, then either I've done something wrong or someone else has done something wrong, or the expectation is set in the wrong place.
Let's say you're starting on a new project though, and there's always an uncertainty there. Like, you just don't know if that project will work out. You never know. But you're putting in 20 to 40 hours. So how do you treat the new project then in that way?
Well, so we've just started a new website redesign for our primary business, and it is going to be a 20 to 40 hour project. And I don't know whether it's going to be X times better than what we have now, but I know that if I don't do this project, I'm pretty certain, like, the existing website, it's 5+ years old. There's so much outdated content. The look is outdated. There's, like, I looked on the homepage the other day, there's something from 2012 on there. I'm like, okay, so I'm certain I know what's going to happen if I don't take this action. There's a fair percentage of the new website redesign and slightly different direction and rebrand is going to perform much better. So I guess it's, you know, it's like a risk, like it's investing time in anything. There's no guarantees. There is certain risk that it's just going to fall in a heap and not going to pay off. But I know with a fair degree of certainty what's going to happen if I stay on the current path.
So is that the only time you start on a new project? Because there's times where you feel like there's an opportunity and you know that, well, you're going to have to put in, let's say, a week or 2 weeks. Which is not much for a new project. I mean, sometimes it'll take 2 months. If you're looking at it from this way of, I need to know that I'm going to get a return on my investment, well, you don't know, right? So in that way, you wouldn't start anything.
Well, you know, it's like anything in the business. It's a risk. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you're just going to balance it out. Like, it's just like any other investment. You've got to balance it out. What's going to happen if you don't make the investment versus what's the potential upside and risk of making the investment or changing course or whatever it is.
But at which point do you know when the project, let's say, is not going to work out? I know I've done it a couple times. If I'm working on something, like really working, like those 12-hour days, like, I don't think about the business as much as just doing the activities to get things done. And I might do them for too long.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And I used to be more logic and about the numbers, but more in the last, as I get older, I'm not that old, I've come to rely more on gut feel. So go by gut feel, because often something is a leap and you don't know whether you're going to make it to the other side, and you just have to go on gut feel. So I don't think there's a right or wrong answer there, but you got to trust your own gut feel. And a lot of the big jumps you make in business are by making that leap, and you don't know whether you're going to make it to the other side. You just got to throw it up and see what sticks. And equally, you've got to be, I guess, ruthless about if something is clearly not working and it's obvious from the numbers it's not working. It's the wrong direction. You have to be ruthless with yourself and whatever it is to cut it off or shut it down or kill it, wherever it is. Because I think there's also, you got to be careful as the business owner not to get into this fallacy, this sunk cost fallacy, where you put so much time into something that, you know, it's just, if I just put a little bit more time into it, maybe it'll work. But I think by the time you're at that stage where you're rationalizing to yourself, it probably has failed. Like last year, we decided to focus more on e-commerce stuff, and we had 5 different e-commerce ventures we got into last year, and all of them performed, but they're okay. If we, none of them are stellar performers, and it was kind of at that point for me, I'm like, well, we could put more effort into it, but was at that decision where I'm like, okay, let's just cut it off and, you know, redirect those resources into the primary business. Because in the market that we're in, the kind of local, so our primary business is the search engine shop, and that market is kind of that local SEO space, and that market shifted a lot in the last 18 months. So there's much more opportunity in there now, and Google is different and all this other stuff. So there's actually new opportunity in our primary business and the market we focus on. So we shut down all the e-commerce things, the 5 different ventures. We had thousands of dollars of stock sitting in a warehouse. We sold it off at cost price. We probably lost money on it, but it was just like, okay, the venture isn't working. Let's get out of it and, you know, go back to what we know was working and do more of that.
Nice. I think that's a good transition into the next episode, because we're going to be talking about multiple income streams.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.